Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't find that on the radio. Yo, turn to that station.
Say, kids, what time is it?
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Jeff Lutz.
We should be in the moment, but also it's good to have something to look forward to.
Oh, that's true.
And Jason Duda.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that anything's wrong or anything like that. It's just that you're looking forward to something.
Lesson one, lose the goatee. Lesson two, get a suit.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's showtime, baby. You'll go wacko, bananas, nuts, crazy, unbelievable.
Good afternoon and welcome. It is Bob and Jeff on KFH. Bob decided to abandon us today for really no reason at all, almost no notice. So Jason Duda steps in, sits in. Dials in, it looks like, is what he's doing right now. And he's in the chair two down to my right. Jason Duda, decked out in all gray. What's the sour mood about today?
I don't know. It's a good question.
You got a gray hat, gray shirt, gray shorts.
Didn't even notice.
And gray shoes.
Didn't even notice.
How does that happen?
How do you notice that stuff? That's the weird part. I don't know.
Why wouldn't anyone notice that?
How do you notice that?
I have
that
eyeballs. I think that's
probably...
I don't
notice anytime what anybody's wearing.
Well, I can't account for what you notice.
What's the point?
You're asking how I notice something, and it's... Have you ever observed anything?
Like what?
Have you just sat and observed something?
Sporting events, I'm at a game
or
something.
That's not observing.
Oh.
That's watching.
Okay.
I'm talking about really observing something, like taking mental note of it, trying to explain maybe what's happening in your own brain, trying to maybe figure out the next move that somebody's going to make. Maybe, you know, just being an active participant in your own life. Have you ever done that?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. So this show's off to a rousing start. You look
fantastic.
You look angry. I don't know why. Is everything okay?
Everything's fine.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Okay.
Happy to be here.
What should I do next?
Whatever. You're the captain.
You can help. What would you do? And I know it's happened before. What would you do if you were in this chair? Just tell me what you would do. What would you... I'm not asking you for topics like my dad does. Well, I don't have anything to talk about, so give me a topic. I'm asking, what would you start with? How would you open the show? What would you talk about? How would you engage people? How would you engage a hypothetical co-host? Just what would your moves be over here?
I don't know.
You've done it before, haven't you?
Yes.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, a few times.
7 years ago?
I don't know.
There's a reason we haven't asked you to do it again.
And you're probably smart to do that.
Yeah, I'm lashing out at you. I lashed out at Bob yesterday. I knew he probably didn't want to do another show with me today.
Why? What happened last yesterday?
Shut up.
Whoa, did you tell him that?
I should have.
Well, what happened on the show where you guys lashed out?
You know what happened on the show. You know exactly why I was lashing out.
I did not listen to the show.
But you know why I was lashing out. You
know because Cleveland lost?
Why I'm upset.
And they lost last night.
Yeah. And did you watch any of that game?
I listened to it on my way back from Hutch. Sounds like they just, as usual, can't score. Runners
really
in scoring position, can't get a hit.
Yeah.
Throw in David Fry. I don't understand that in the fourth inning.
What's to understand? Bo Naylor doesn't have a hit in the postseason. You have to give yourself a chance to win.
And a first pitch pop-up doesn't help.
Yeah, he took a good swing at it. I was upset, too, because you know how I follow the game on my phone first before I watch it? Because it's like three or four pitches ahead.
Yes,
so the previous guy, Jimenez, I think it was, walked on four pitches. And then you see that David Fry swings at the first pitch and pops it up to third. And I'm like, what on earth? And I wanted to be upset after it happened, but he took a good swing. He got a fastball. It wasn't the best pitch. It was a good pitch. But it was a pitch I felt like he could handle. in other circumstances, he popped up. And then Rocchio struck out. And then he had the bases loaded with no out. You got two, but you didn't get a hit in either of those run-scoring situations. You got a sack fly and a ground out. And then he hit a home run in the ninth that was meaningless. And I keep reading how the Guardians are overmatched, and it's such an easy path for the Yankees, and I just don't feel that way. The Guardians haven't gotten it done yet, but that doesn't mean they won't, and it certainly doesn't mean the Yankees are, like, just far better. Am I crazy? Am I wrong to feel that way? The Yankees are good, but they're not unbeatable, especially by the Guardians.
Really?
Your thoughts?
Well, doesn't look like it so far. They've given up 4 unearned runs in 2 games.
That's not all on the pitching. Bybee did not come out sharp last night, but it didn't help that Rocchio, who's been one of your best hitters and was a great defender throughout the season, nominated for a Gold Glove, which he might end up winning. I think Bobby Witt probably does. But, you know, he drops a ball in the first, and it's just kind of downhill. This thing's snowball. And too many pitches in the middle of the plate, too many not strikes, non-competitive pitches, and then you have to go to the bullpen in the second inning. That's what happened. Your thoughts?
Well, I think Cleveland's in trouble. They've had to use a ton of bullpen guys already. They're going into game 3. If they last, they're going to have to pitch just a ton in games to get to 6 and 7. I see they're in trouble.
I don't think they're in trouble.
They're down 2-0.
They're not in trouble based on what pitchers you think there are available. Everybody's available. There are, at most, you know, 5 games left in this series. You got to win 4 of them. You got to win 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
That sounds daunting, but you can win 3 in Cleveland. I don't think it's completely out of the question that they win 3 in Cleveland, maybe go back to Bybee in Game 5, maybe get something from Gavin Williams in the bullpen in Game 4, Matthew Boyd tomorrow. It's not out of the question. And I don't think I'm speaking unreasonably. If I watch these games and I'm like, damn, we just can't match up with these guys. There's no hope. I would say that, I think. I think I would say that.
No.
But I don't feel that way. I don't feel like they're just bludgeoning us. They started the games hot, got some hits early. Okay, great. Guardians can do that too. You don't think we can beat Clark Schmidt?
Anybody can do that, but the Guardians struggle at doing it against anybody. That's the problem.
No, I think it'll be okay. And here's why. As the series goes along, you get to know the pitchers more, right? And that could work out to the Yankees' advantage also.
Well, yeah, because they've already seen them all.
They will have seen the pitchers also. But I'm not really that scared of Clay Holmes, Tim Hill, Tommy Canely. Luke Weaver's very good, but we got a home run off of him last night. Once you see these guys 3 or 4 times in a 5 or 6 day period, you should know everything about them. And I think some of those non-hits will turn into hits, maybe extra base hits. We have not started off the series well, but I do not believe in any sense that the series is over.
Well, it's not over. I know it's not over. Not,
I mean, you know what I'm saying. It's not, obviously, it's not over. It hasn't been decided yet. It's a series that continues. But I'm just not saying, oh, no hope. Just don't feel that way. Should I?
No, well, of course not. And you're a fan of Cleveland, so you should.
But should I? Would a realistic fan feel like, man, this is it?
No, not right now. If they lose tomorrow, then yes.
That's going to be bad.
So, obviously, you got to hope for tomorrow.
What if the season ends while I'm at the Sphere?
Oh, it's going to ruin your weekend.
Will it?
I don't know. Will it?
I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to feel.
You're barely going to be able to even watch these games. How's that going to go?
That's going to be the oddest feeling on earth. I'll watch. We rented a cargo van.
What?
That's all Enterprise had left. And they're like the only rental car company, especially when I'm going out of town. That's the only one I trust, right, is Enterprise.
Okay.
So they are not a sponsor. So we went to Enterprise, the closest one to the airport, because when you rent from the airport, it costs more. So we got like a mile or two down the road from the airport. All they had left was a small cargo van.
So you're going to be cruising around in a small cargo van.
Cargo vans don't have windows in, right?
I don't know.
Do they have windows out?
Windows out.
Like the cover, they're all covered up, obviously, right? You got the white covering, the white cargo van with the windows covered. You can't see in. Can you see out? Because that's a problem if you can't. How are you supposed to check on your blind spot?
There is, some have windows, some don't. Depends what kind of one you get.
They don't have windows in.
What do you mean windows in?
Like you can't see in. But they have windows, but you can't see in them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But can you see out?
Of course you can see out.
869-1240. How? They're covered up.
It's the way they're made. Well, you can see out when you if it's like this one I'm looking at.
Which one are you looking at?
I'm looking at a van and it's got a big long window down the side.
Well, mine does have that, but it also is covered up. A Ford Transit. You've seen cargo vans.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
where
about.
Where their window is covered. So how do you access your blind spot?
Oh, well,
I need someone to answer that question for me.
I don't know. And if you're driving down the strip, you need something to look out. Let me tell you.
There's someone out there driving a cargo van right now. 869-1240. It would help us out a lot if you told us about the experience of driving a cargo van. Hopefully, when we get to Enterprise Rent-A-Car tomorrow around noon-ish, they will have a different car for us. But we had to take the best deal, man.
I guess. If you got lots of luggage, it's a good good choice on vehicles.
I mean, I'm putting it together.
Be fantastic.
I don't have
if you decide
luggage
to buy
yet.
A bunch of stuff, you can just toss it in the back.
Right? That was the
That's
plan.
Great thinking.
Take home our leftovers from dinner tomorrow night?
Yeah, just toss it in the 17th row.
There's got to be a refrigerator back there.
I would
think
so. Look at the size of these things.
They're humongous.
Wonder if there's a stove. Maybe you should just live in that while you're out there.
It's not a bad idea.
I know.
Because you can't see in with those windows.
So it's safe.
It's kind of perfect.
I think maybe you've changed things.
Kind of pointless getting a hotel when you can sleep in your van.
Exactly.
Man.
You should talk to the wife about that. What a great experience that would be.
It'd be fine.
I think it would be for an anniversary. I mean, we went and stayed in a cargo van in Vegas.
Exactly.
Like, you have that story for the rest of your life.
I think
want you to do it now because I want to talk about this years and years.
We've already laid down the deposit for the hotel. I don't know when it's too late to back out because we do check in tomorrow.
It's either usually 24 or 48 hours. So yeah. You're out of luck. Maybe just go pay for one night and stay in the van. Do one night at a hotel, then stay in the van the next night. And then for the third night, pick which one you like and enjoyed more.
Well, we're checking in the cargo van on Saturday night after the concert.
Oh.
We got an early flight Sunday.
Okay. You're flying Southwest?
6:15, I think.
Straight shot?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's got to be them.
Well, it could be like Allegiant, right?
Well, I don't know.
Doesn't Allegiant do that?
There are only certain days, though.
Yeah, it doesn't even say. My wife sent me the itinerary. I don't even know. But I'm sure it's Southwest. That seems most likely.
That seems most likely to me because they go straight out.
You ready to set up the show today?
Yeah, here let me see what's going on.
This is a good show.
Is it?
I don't know. Well, I hope for it to be.
Well, let's see.
At 2:25, Russ Wells, the head coach for the football team at Wichita South High School. Did you know, Jason, when Wichita South and Wichita Northwest take the field tomorrow, the winner of that game will basically be City League champion?
Already?
Can you believe that?
How is that possible?
Well, they're both 4-0
okay.
In the City League. South has a game against West next week, and let's be honest, you should win that game. This is Northwest's last game in the City League. They play Eisenhower next week. I don't know how they get to play fewer City League games. I don't know what that... Another question for the masses, maybe.
Uh-huh.
No one knows anything about cargo vans, clearly.
Nobody.
Does anyone know why City League schedule is as unbalanced as it is? That's another question.
Good question.
But if South beats Northwest, they're 5-0. Everyone else has at least one loss in the City League. And then when they go beat West next week, they win the City League.
Well, that makes sense.
Can they beat Northwest?
Well, we didn't think that Mays would beat Mays South last week.
We did not. And they hammered
them. We basically dismissed that game.
Very much so. Didn't even make the Friday Five.
No, which is unbelievable.
Now the question is, does Mays South Derby make the Friday Five? You can't really, in good faith, put that game in the Friday Five. It was going to be a game between two unbeatens. A game that Derby would have been heavily favored.
Yes.
But Mays South has not been in the Friday Five yet. And I looked at the games last week about this week and said, well, you put Mays South in. We haven't done them yet. We'll put them in when they play Derby. That'll be a game between undefeateds. Now that game has lost a lot of luster. Does it even make the Friday Five?
Well, that's up to you. I mean, you do the Friday Five, don't you?
I do.
Well, that's your call.
It is my call. But it doesn't mean that I don't take
Well, what other games
advice
would you put in instead?
Man, I wish I brought that in. There's some good games this week. We got Moundridge Sedgwick is one we're looking at. Obviously, Northwest South for the City League Championship of the World will be on there. I don't remember all the games. I think Mays, do they have a kind of a – they play Valley Center, which isn't a great game, but that's in consideration just because I want to talk about Mays now.
Yes, I understand that.
And what they've done the last couple of weeks, especially last week beating Mays South.
Very true.
So that'd be a good chance to get Mays in the Friday Five.
There you go.
It's a lot to think about.
Man, you got it. It's tough.
It is tough. Collegiate Andale, that's another kind of Mays South situation. Collegiate got blitzed by Cheney. Now do we need to reward them and put them in the Friday Five against Andale?
I don't know. Do you?
I don't know. It's tough.
Man.
It's tough. At 2:45, Mike Furches is in to talk pop culture. He'll be in studio.
No.
Isn't that crazy?
It's awesome.
He said he's bringing me,
What? He's bringing you what?
He has something to bring me. Those were his exact words.
I wonder if it's something to do with the Eagles.
You think it's the barbecue pizza?
It's only on Thursdays, remember?
Is it not Thursday?
It's Wednesday.
Feels Friday-ish to me.
I wish it was Friday-ish. It's not.
It is kind of for me. I'm going out of town tomorrow.
Well, so are we, kind of. So, yeah, everyone's leaving.
Where are you going? You're going to Kansas City.
Avery's got state, so.
That's a big deal.
It is. So, I think Dee's going up tomorrow night. I'm going to go up Friday morning.
Have we seen her draw yet?
No, I don't. I think it's supposed to come out today. I'm not sure. I'll go try to find it.
She'll be in the singles. Did she play much doubles this year?
No. She hasn't played doubles her whole high school career.
I thought a lot of people played singles and doubles.
That's in middle school.
Okay.
You play a game of singles, a game of doubles. But when you get to high school, you usually pick one.
Really?
And that's
so
where
all the doubles teams are exclusively doubles?
Yeah, the doubles team that's going just plays doubles. They've played doubles together for, I think all 4 years. Danica and Maddie.
Well, good for them.
Yeah.
Danica and Maddie going to state.
Going to state. They won their regionals in the doubles bracket there. So they'll be, I'll be curious to see. I think the worst that those two can get seeded is 12th because they won their regional. It's really goofy.
How many teams are?
24.
Yeah, it's
six out of the four regions. But
there's only 24. Okay, so some teams don't go. It's not everybody.
No, that's why you had to go. You got to go to your regionals and you got to qualify.
Right.
So you got to finish. And there's usually eight teams in each regional, two girls and two doubles teams. So you got 16 teams at the regionals.
Okay.
And then the top six go.
That's a lot.
It is.
And you got to finish, I heard you say, in the top 12?
I think it's top 12
to get
in order to medal. I believe that's what it is.
And that's what we're looking to do.
That's what we're looking to do.
At Mays.
That's what we're looking to do.
That'd be a nice accomplishment.
It'd be great if
send Avery off. Does she plan on playing like club tennis at K-State or intramurals or anything?
Well, we've talked about it. She might. She'll bring her stuff. I guess she'll probably just try to figure out how the year's going and getting school figured out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it'd be good for her to pick up at least go once a week just to get out and do something.
It'd be nice.
I would think so.
Want to stay active when you're in college. And at 3:25, Thunder forward Jay Dickman. The Thunder begin their season Friday at home against the Kansas City Mavericks.
What day?
Friday.
I won't be here.
The 18th. I will not be here either. Do you want to play a game today? Do you?
Do you have one?
No.
Well, I don't have one.
Okay. I don't know.
Well, we could. One of us could figure it out.
You're not going to be here Friday. I'm not going to be here the rest of the week. I thought maybe you'd throw something together. But if you don't, I got plenty to talk about.
Well, perfect. Why don't we just play it by ear?
I ran into a couple things just preparing for the show that,
really?
Annoyed me. And we might get to talk about those.
What's that?
Well, the Shocker Sports Hall of Fame announced its 2025 class.
Okay.
Today, no men's basketball players again.
None.
And ESPN put out its top 50 NBA players, which I don't have any problem with, except then they make stories about, was this a good list? Well, I don't, you made it.
True.
Don't ask me.
No, why would they ask you?
Was LeBron too low? I don't know. You made the list.
Whoa. Calm down.
If I want to talk about who's too low, I'll make my own list.
You will.
How am I going to say somebody's too low on the list that you made and that you're now asking me about?
Man, that's confusing.
It is confusing. Let's take a break.
Yeah, let's do that.
We will come back. We will talk to Russ Wells, head football coach at Wichita South, the Titans, going into their biggest game probably in a long time, I would have to guess.
A long time.
With the City League Championship on the line. We'll talk with the Titans coach when we come back. Jason Dude is here. Max Power takes us to break as our producer and engineer. It's Bob and Jeff on KFH.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5.
Let's go to the IHOP hotline and talk to Russ Wells. He's the head football coach at Wichita South. Wichita South 4-0 in the City League. They play fellow undefeated in the City League Northwest on Friday in a game that might decide the City League championship. Russ, how's it going?
Great, thank you.
Yeah, congratulations on the season so far. You have South at 4-0 in the City League for the first time since 2015. I really was hoping it was like 1971 or something, so the story would be even better. But it is a great story. You guys are on the precipice now of a City League championship. What have been your overall impressions on this team and the year that you've had so far?
These guys have just been incredibly resilient. It's something that we've talked with them about all season long, you know, that we're going to, every game, every week, every season is going to have its share of adversity. And we just have to battle back from that, whatever it's going to be. And these guys have done that week to week, really better than just about any team that I've coached in a long, long time.
Coach, give us some of the players. Give us some guys that have really stepped up for you this year, offensively and defensively, maybe some that you expected, and maybe some surprises.
Sure. Rayshon Johnson, he's played pretty much everything for us. He started off the year as playing wide receiver, and then we had a quarterback package for him. He plays free safety. He's returned three kickoffs for touchdowns this year, and then he's really settled into our quarterback spot these last several weeks, getting the lion's share of the reps there. And he's our second leading rusher on the team and fastest kid on the team, super explosive. And then Jaden Kirk McGowan is our tailback, and he's just a load to bring down. I mean, he's 215 pounds, super strong in the weight room and just runs with a lot of power, and is our leading rusher, 10 touchdowns on the year. I'm closing in on 1,000 yards, and that's with a game missed due to injury. On the defensive side, Jamarcus Webster has been our defensive leader for 3 years now, leading us in tackles, getting us lined up on the defensive side of the ball, getting turnovers for us, and just being our leader there. And then Antonio Carrion's another one that has been just a great surprise for us, kind of moving him around defensive line, linebacker. And he's right up there in tackles for us too, tackles for loss and sacks.
Talking with Russ Wells, the football coach at Wichita South. Wichita South 4-0 in the City League, got a game at Northwest on Friday. So I think a lot of people kind of started to take notice of your program once you beat Bishop Carroll a few weeks ago. Not quite 1971, but the last time that had happened was 1992. So what did that win signify for you and what this team's potential is overall?
It kind of got back to the adversity issue. You know, we had taken the lead early in that game, and then they came back and scored right before half. And so we went in down 7-6 at halftime. And we talked about, you know, needing to come out and make plays, and not everything was going to go our way in the second half, and that we just needed to strengthen some things together. We needed some guys to step up at different spots, and it happened. And you know, we got some big rushes on offense. We got some turnovers. We got some stops on defense, and then it just kind of snowballed from there, and the guys really started believing, and then that helped us a lot going into last week's win against Heights, because we were in pretty much the same situation at half, but tied 7-7 at half.
Well, Coach, obviously you got Northwest this Friday. Pretty big game for you coming up here. Can basically salt away the City League. Obviously, you got another game after that, but give us a little rundown of what you're expecting on Friday night.
Well, I mean, they're Northwest again is the standard. I mean, you usually watch film and you hope to see something you can exploit. You hope to see some weaknesses, and Northwest just never seems to have any. They're great at running the football. They're physical on defense. They've got athletes all over the field and size and speed, and it's going to be our biggest challenge so far this season, no doubt. And they're extremely well coached, and so together that's a pretty formidable combination.
Yeah. So how do you get your players prepared for a game like that with so much on the line? It's against Northwest, a team that has had your number. They've had everybody's number over the last several seasons. How do you make your players believe that they can hang in that game?
We just prepare, one game at a time, as the old cliche goes. And we've had some really close games. Like when we had talked about the week leading up to Carroll, we had played them really tight in several football games and just hadn't gotten over the hump yet, had to do just a little bit more. And we talked about that in preparation, that, if you want something you've never had, you got to do something you've never done. And so we needed to prepare a little bit different, a little bit harder, and expect a little bit more out of ourselves.
Talking with Russ Wells, head football coach at Wichita South. So what have you made of the City League this year? It seems like there's some depth there, especially with you coming on the way you have at South. We know Capen, East, Northwest are kind of the juggernauts of the last few years. So what has it been like to kind of feel like maybe you're breaking into that group? Is that something that you feel like can last beyond this year? How do you kind of go about building a sustainable program and doing it in the City League?
We knew that going into last year, we were very young at a lot of spots, and we felt that that our guys were going to get a lot of good experience, and that if we took a step forward this year and developed, that we were going to have a pretty good opportunity to be successful this season with some of those, with those sophomores becoming juniors and some of those juniors becoming seniors, and getting the opportunity to develop those guys, which a lot of times for us is the challenge, to be quite honest, because we have a lot of our younger guys are forced into playing pretty early, earlier, say, than at some other schools, and don't get to that time to develop on a JV level, for instance, and we need them to play right away. But we knew that we had the young guys that if they took that next step forward, that we felt like we could be pretty pretty solid at a lot of spots.
Am I right? You went to South High, right?
Yes, sir.
And yeah, what does that mean to be back there? What did you like about the school when you went there? What do you like about it now? I'm sure it's a lot of the same things on that list, but obviously it's a place that you've wanted to spend a lot of time.
Yeah, I'd always coached several places, and I'd always kept an eye on South, even when I was elsewhere. You know, back in the early days of coaching, used to grab the paper on Saturday morning and open it up and read the box scores, and I'd always check in on South. And you know, for a long time, had coaches here that I still knew, and the job came open a few times, and always had kept interest in it. And when it came open this last time, and I had applied, it just felt like the right opportunity for me. And it just means a lot to be back here, because this it was, you know, out here on these practice fields that this is what I decided, where I decided what I wanted to do. You know, that I knew that this is what I want to be. I want to be a football coach. And so it kind of feels right to come back here full circle and to get to do it at the place where I decided to do it.
Is that something that you've always wanted, coach? Like, even growing up and playing as a kid and in high school and stuff, did you always want to be a coach, or did you kind of that just fall into your lap, or after a season you're like, you know what, I think this is something I want to pursue?
It really wasn't until my later years of high school. You know, I thought, well, maybe this is something that I want to do. And then I was lucky enough to get the opportunity to go on and play in college. And after getting to play four more years, it just, you know, you get to be around the game so much and it becomes such a part of you. You kind of look at it thinking, I might have a hard time walking away from this. And just the camaraderie and getting to work with young people. And that's really when it kind of, the idea just stuck with me, and here I am.
Final moments here with Russ Wells, head football coach at South High. So I was trying to track down your number today. I know I emailed you this morning, but I'm very impatient. And I was thinking about texting Coach Martin at Northwest to see if he had your number, and I was like, that'd be kind of weird. They're playing each other on Friday. But have you guys talked? Do you guys talk much? And just kind of broader than that, what is kind of the football coach fraternity in the City League like? How much do you guys talk?
Oh, sure. We Steve and I will talk quite a bit during track season, actually, because we're both track coaches and we get to see each other pretty frequently. And he was actually one of the first people to text me and congratulate me when we beat Carroll, which was you know, really, really well received, and that meant a lot. But I mean, it's most of the, you know, the coaches in the city, we all see each other pretty regularly through whatever sport it is, not just football seasons. It's at basketball games, it's during track, and you know, it's we're all right here with each other, and everybody just gets along, talks at in services or whatever it is. So yeah, it's just a big fraternity.
Good stuff. We really appreciate your time today. Been a great story. Wichita South 4-0 in the City League, a chance to even win the City League, going against Northwest tomorrow. Good luck tomorrow and the rest of the way. We'll have our eye on the Titans.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
All right, thanks a lot.
There you go.
South High 4-0.
Who'd have thunk it?
Not a lot.
What do you got
people.
Going on over there? What are you looking at?
I got a little shirt.
What? You got a shirt?
Guard the land.
And I didn't even get like a burger or
Where'd
fries
you get this?
Or a pizza.
Look at that.
And you got a shirt?
Look at that nice shirt right there.
Oh,
from Mike
no.
Furches, one of my best buds.
Guard the land. Does anybody have any idea what that could be about?
And we play at home tomorrow. And Friday and Saturday, we got to guard
Are
that
Are you taking
land.
Your shirt with you now to Vegas?
I guess I have to.
Are you going to wear it to the concert?
Maybe. Ooh. I usually don't go Eagles clothing at Eagles concerts.
Well,
we'll see.
You could probably get away with the guard shirt considering they'll be playing that night.
Do you want to know the last four scores between Northwest and South?
I want to hear them?
I didn't want to bring this up.
Do I want to hear them?
If you're a South person, you might want to close your ears. Last year, 70-7. The year before that, 79-8. The year before that, 63-22.
Huh?
And the year before that, 63-0.
I got a feeling it'll be a little closer.
I hope so.
I got a feeling it's going to be a little closer this
year. I really hope so.
I did too.
I want South to compete in that game. Maybe they win. I mean, crazier
you
things
don't
have happened.
Know. It's sports.
You just don't.
You don't know. You can assume and think you know what's going to happen. You get out there, and I can't say what I was going to, but stuff changes.
What were you going to say?
And it could, well, stuff was close, started with the same letter, but.
That makes sense. We're ready to talk some pop culture, I guess. Mike showed up decked out in his Tennessee orange.
Third week in October.
Uh-huh. And brought you a shirt.
Brought me a shirt. Looks good. Looks nice.
Brought me nothing.
Brought you nothing. I thought maybe...
Nothing but a headache is all he brought me.
It's like Bob, you know. We wonder where you're at.
I'm only talking to Max the next three segments.
All right. That makes sense. I heard, before we get to our friend Mike Furches, I heard from one of my biggest fans during the break who wanted to just shower me with praise over our... Over my real interview with the South coach, Russ Wells.
Why? What are you talking about? Am I missing something?
I heard from one of my fans, who I hear from never, but let's just pretend like I hear from him a lot. It's none other than former Shocker number 31, Ron Baker.
Oh, well, how about that?
I was thinking of him the other day, actually.
Did he go to South?
No, he went to Scott City.
But, yeah, that's what I thought. So why is he – what's going on?
Like I said, he's one of my fans. What do you do?
Well, I apologize. I'm so sorry.
These texts happen.
I'm trying to put the pieces together here.
Yeah, that's all it was.
That's what I do.
We all have faults, and we just found out one of Ron's.
Yeah.
I was thinking.
And now it's kind of worried about Ron a little bit. Like, did he get concussed a lot when he was playing, or what was happening here?
I don't know.
Ron, are you all right, buddy? Yeah. I hope things are well.
Playing.
Just take a minute, go sit in the couch for a second, think, gather your thoughts, put them together correctly.
I was literally thinking about Ron Baker the other day because I'm about to go see the Eagles. And the last time, not the last time, but a recent time last year I was about to see the Eagles was at Madison Square Garden where he played for the Knicks. And I texted him, I need to find a Ron Baker jersey or something to wear. I never did find one. I found them, but they were too hard to order. Anyway, I was like, I doubt I ever hear from Ron Baker again. That's kind of just a little out of my celebrity range,
right?
Of people who would just randomly text me,
right?
But he did.
How wrong you were!
And today, of all days,
isn't that crazy?
That's nuts.
Right when we're on the air,
look at how happy you are. You got a guard shirt. Ron Baker's texting you, telling you what a good job you're doing. Although we didn't see the text, so we really don't know for sure.
But if you believe it
in your heart, that's fine.
I just put one of my friends in my phone as Ron Baker to make me feel better.
Oh, okay. Well, then that makes more sense.
Well, actually,
even that friend doesn't text him very often, obviously.
He was just listening in to hear the pop culture segment today. That's what he's doing.
That's probably what it is. What do you have to offer? What have you been paying attention to? We've got the new television season on, but yeah. I saw your Facebook post. You kind of want to talk about October activities and pumpkin patches.
Well, there is a new show that's on. I think it's Scavenger.
I don't know.
It's the name of it. Tracker. It's named Tracker. It's on CBS. It's actually really good.
Good station, by the way.
Yeah, it is actually really good. So today, usually the third week in October is Tennessee, Alabama. And then there's always the Halloween stuff that's coming up, too.
Tennessee, well, how are they going to do kind of the favorite in that game? I don't know if they'll be betting favorites, but Alabama lost to Vanderbilt. They struggled with South Carolina and...
Well, Vanderbilt's good this year.
Vanderbilt.
No, they're not Vanderbilt. They're good. They beat Alabama, and they have had a couple of really good games. But I'm shocked at how well Vanderbilt's doing this year.
Are you shocked?
Tennessee-Bama, I'm shocked.
At a team that is that beat Virginia Tech, lost to Georgia State and Missouri.
Barely lost to Missouri.
Yeah, but they lost. And they lost to Georgia State. But go ahead.
And the Eagles have lost a Grammy or two, but we won't put them down.
No, they haven't. They've claimed all the. Well, I think they eventually did claim all their Grammys.
So it's, you know, I'm looking, I love October. Last week we talked to one of the Thunder guys. I think the guy's in charge of promotions or whatever. And we talked about the new.
You talked with General Manager Joel T. Lamar.
Yes. And we spoke,
I mean,
some.
Put some respect on his name, for crying out loud.
Well, you know, I'm not the biggest of the hockey guys like Duda over here. But it was a great interview because he was asking me questions about the Terrifier series. And so I went to see it. Oh, my goodness. It's, I actually saw it twice. I took my wife once, and I don't know why I took her the second time to see it, because she sits there with her eyes closed the whole movie.
Well, I mean, yeah, who is that if you can't even watch it?
I'm telling you, it was.
Why do you even take her? Does she want to go?
It's torture.
It's torture. Participant.
It's torture. It's just torture.
So you brought her back again?
No, I didn't take her the first time. I went by myself the first time.
She can't close her eyes much. She won't become desensitized to the violence.
It was horrible. It's. I mean, I don't mean it's horrible in regards that it's bad. It's just it's so gruesome. It's bad in a new vernacular kind of way. It is the goriest movie I've ever seen.
Well, that's saying something.
You've seen a few movies in your day. I thought Darkness by Leif Younger out of Wichita, Fangoria had that as one of the goriest of all time. But
What do horror movies, I guess on some level I can understand why they exist, but what do they satisfy within you artistically? Because you're a person who looks at movies critically. You review them. You talk about them with knowledge, and
you're making an assumption. I watch movies to have fun, to have a good
just
time.
Just go along with it. I heard from Ron Baker, so I'm somebody now. Just pretend my questions.
You're somebody.
The premises are accurate.
I think most people know about my faith and stuff to some extent. I think of all genres of movies, there is none more spiritual than horror. I mean, even in this new one, there's a...
Oh, but you go to have fun. Now we're starting to get a little too serious.
Well, no. There are clearly overt spiritual themes in horror movies. And this one right here on Terrifier 3, first of all, that there's three Terrifiers, which is really kind of a misnomer because there were three short stories that did real well that they made into a movie before Terrifier. So there's actually six Terrifiers.
They're growing. Yeah. Five, three, six.
He is the new Michael Myers. He is the new Freddy Krueger. And he makes Freddy Krueger look like something you see on the Disney Channel on a Saturday morning during kids' hour. I mean, Art the Clown.
That sounds pretty scary.
Freddy growing up.
I don't think it's necessarily scary. It's just it's hard to watch. It's so gruesome. I've never seen a movie that is
again.
As
what is fun about that?
I don't know. I'm not. I've never liked horror movies.
Just to watch the way the guts fall out, or the way the hatchet's going to hit the head. You know, all those kind of things are just, you know, things you might need to know in real life, just in case.
Yeah, because if I see it on myself, then I'll know what's going to happen next. I guess. They're falling out. Oh, what's next? Oh, I got about 8 seconds.
The fact that the Thunder GM essentially talked me into going to see it opening night. That says something about him as well.
I could get into that, but I'm not gonna.
I kind of want you to be honest. Do you have anything for Mike on those lines or any others?
No, how do you top that?
You don't really.
What about the Dylan movie, Mike?
It looks really good. The new Bob Dylan movie that's coming out that talks with him and Carole King and some. Yeah, it looks. I was real skeptical at first. And then the more previews I've seen, the trailers I've seen, and then the interviews I've seen about it, and then the fact that Dylan was somewhat involved in it, it leaves me a little bit of hope that it might be. Because the early Dylan, pre-Electric, you know, I knew Mickey Jones. Mickey was the band's drummer. He played drums for Dylan on the Electric tour. And Mickey died here a few years ago. But most people know Mickey from the Breath Savers commercial and then from Tool Time with Tim Taylor. But Mickey played drums for Dylan on that Electric
tour. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Mickey who?
Mickey, when I say Mickey Jones? Yeah, well, Mickey Jones.
Mickey Jones?
Yeah.
With Tool Time?
Yeah.
That was Richard Karn.
No, you're thinking of somebody
else. Are you thinking about the...
He did the Breath Savers commercial. One of the most...
The K&B band?
Oh, I know who that guy is.
Yeah.
Yeah, was he on...
But he that whole tour with Dylan, which they seemed to
you're confusing.
It's an amazing when Dylan went electric. That is an amazing musical moment.
Doesn't it go up to that? I thought I saw.
It goes up to that. Yeah, yes, I thought so. Yes, it does. So I'm actually looking real forward to it. And there's some good movies that are coming out. that I'm looking forward to. But that's on the top of my list right now to see is the new Dylan movie.
Well, there you have it.
We haven't seen any movie. We watched Deadpool Wolverine, which I really wasn't that impressed with. But it's what you expect.
It's schmuck, yeah.
Yeah, it's what you expect. We've started watching a couple just series on TV, High Potential. Really good. It's kind of it's comedy, you know, who killed who, that sort of thing is really good. And then we watched the pilot of Matlock. Because I remember Matlock as a kid.
With the Kate, I can't think of her name. She's a great actress.
Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
You have to see the ending to show the homage.
Exactly.
At the show. And if you sit through the whole thing, it's like, this isn't Matlock, this isn't. And then if you wait for the ending, it's like, oh my goodness, what a wonderful homage to Andy Griffith in the original series. It's well worth watching.
You know, obviously it's going to have that tied in throughout the season, which is kind of what I like. I like those shows that they have a show, but there's something that always ties in to something that's going to come up later on. But we watched it, and my wife's like, "Well, do you want to watch it?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, I'll try it out." And then I watched it, and I'm like, "Okay, And then the next one doesn't come out until like 2 weeks later.
It's late, That's how they did with Tracker, but some of the Tracker stuff is out now. And the way I watch it is I watch the previews on, I think it's Paramount Plus, that had Tracker and it had Matlock as well. And I thought, I'll go ahead and watch it, see what it's like. And I was very pleasantly surprised with Matlock as well. There's some good televisions coming out right now, and the fact that CBS and some of the networks are doing some of it is admirable to see. Excuse me, to see that.
Yeah, no, we enjoyed it, and we thought we'd have another one, but it's not out yet.
So yesterday we were mad
2 days ago because it was finally an evening where we didn't have a sporting event to go to in the last 6 weeks.
For those that don't know who Kathy Bates is, if you've ever seen the movie Misery.
Yeah, well, I know who it is.
There's the infamous scene there where the dude's in the bed.
Oh, the ankle scene. Oh.
One of the most gruesome.
What are you guys talking about? I've kind of checked out over here.
You've never seen Misery.
I've never seen Misery.
Why would I want to Slapshot.
Why would I want to watch Misery?
It was made in your lifetime.
Yes.
So what? Why would I want to watch that?
Because it's good.
You got to watch it.
Because it's one of the great actresses of this generation, and maybe those were some reasons.
Kathy Bates?
Yeah, she was also Andy
She's one of the great
Fowler's
actresses
mom,
of the generation.
Yeah, Big Bang Theory.
Kathy's pretty good, man.
How many Oscars?
She's the new Matlock. She's pretty good.
She's the new Matlock. He didn't hear you.
No, I know. He
did you say it?
Yeah,
we've been talking about it for like 2 minutes.
I told you I checked out. I'm over here trying to figure out Las Vegas. I'm not here.
Talk to me off the air, and I'll tell you a couple places to go to have some fun in Vegas.
I'm going to the Sphere, man.
I know. Have you not seen the show yet?
No, I've not seen it.
You're in for a treat.
Well, you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I did. I got this 85-inch screen TV that I watched it on. The whole show's on YouTube.
Well, that's not being at the Sphere. I don't like that. Take that back.
Jeff's going to go home and watch it tonight now.
I'm already,
guaranteed.
You think I haven't watched it?
YouTube and watch it.
Are you looking forward to it?
Of course I'm looking forward to it.
For the Eagles or for the Sphere or both?
Yes.
Isn't it the same show, Jeff, that you've seen over?
No, I've not seen a show at the Sphere again. And who says that to somebody? Like,
I'm just wondering.
Just be prepared because it's really like steep in there.
I know. I'm on the floor, though, so it doesn't matter.
Sorry, Big Wheel.
Oh, wow.
$16,000 for a ticket.
Aren't we special? Ron Baker?
And rented a cargo van, but I spent $16,000 on a ticket.
There's the Ron Baker text, and now there's this. Oh my goodness.
The kid's rolling
in the presence of greatness.
Steve?
He's rolling.
I'm at eye level with Don Henley.
He's right on the floor. Bam will look down,
see
him,
and go, I go to Dallas this weekend.
Do
I leave for Dallas on Friday?
For ELO?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Why not? Because I can't get cheap tickets. That's one reason.
Maybe you will the day of.
Yeah.
I mean, at least drive down there. It's not a bad drive.
It's not a bad drive.
It's kind of stressful. I don't like driving down.
Dallas is not a fun place to drive.
No, it's awful.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
Is Bev still in ELO?
No. No. The only reason I remember ELO left is Jeff Lynne. But he was ELO. I mean, in the last three records that they've done, or three CDs, whatever you want to call it now, he's played everything and done everything on it. All the vocals, all the music.
I remember seeing ELO Part 2 or whatever they called
it. With Bev Vaughn, they had Nick Kaminsky and all those guys. They were actually more ELO members in ELO 2 than they are in ELO.
Looking for Honest Men, I think, was there.
Yeah. And they were not a bad band. No. You know, I would love to see Nick Kaminsky.
So I'm at the Roxy.
Wow, that'd have been a place to see him. Yeah. And I played the Roxy once when I was with Rob Castles, a long, long time ago. That's been 1980s. The Roxy was the – it's kind of like Whiskey A Go-Go in L.A. It's kind of the place.
All right, then. Thanks, Mike.
Oh, you're welcome.
We did. We got a lot done in that segment.
We sure did.
I'd ask you to stick around, but I don't really want you to.
No, I want you to stick around, Mike.
You got to start next time.
I don't know why you want to leave. You can stick around as far as I'm concerned.
With that comment,
well, you just got overruled, kid.
Duda, next time I'm bringing you a bottle of Blackberry Crown.
Yeah, you are.
Wow.
Yeah, you are.
Jeff will sit there and just wet his mouth.
I'll give him one shot and he'll be on the floor.
Probably. That's accurate. All right, stay with us. Hour two coming up on Bob and Jeff, KFH.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother Rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.